WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Just weeks before he was scheduled to stand trial, Brian Koberger has agreed to plead guilty to murdering four University of Idaho students back in 2022. The deal's been announced by their families. Benjamin Mogan's daughter Madison was among the victims.
Yeah, I think it's justice when you don't have to torture families that have been already through the most horrific thing they could ever imagine, you know.
Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti.
The deal appears to remove the death penalty in exchange for four consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole. Next, Koberger's legal team would need to formally accept the deal in a plea hearing. The timing of that hearing remains uncertain.
Lawmakers in the Senate pulled another all-nighter, slogging through votes on proposed amendments to President Trump's massive tax and spending bill ahead of his self-imposed Friday deadline. Maryland's Angela Alsobrooks with a Democratic ask.
We can save health care for millions of Americans if we strip out tax giveaways for individuals making more than $10 million. Yes or no?
South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham.
Y'all will never do anything to make sure taxes go down, so we're going to make sure they go down forever.
A hiccup on day one of jury deliberations at Sean Combs' sex trafficking and racketeering conspiracy trial. Just an hour into their work, the panel sent the judge a note. CBS's Alex Gaynor has details from New York.
It said we have a juror, number 25. We're concerned he cannot follow your honor's instructions. Can you speak to him or interview him? The parties and the judge discussed how to respond, so they reminded the jurors of their obligation to follow the law, to resume their deliberations, and if further issues arise, have the foreperson send a note, but make sure it doesn't list anyone's position.
President Trump is stopping by a place he calls Alligator Alcatraz today. It's a new migrant detention center in the middle of the Florida Everglades. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez.
The Department of Homeland Security has not only vowed to fund it, but now President Trump is visiting it and obviously giving it his presidential approval. So this will continue to be something that will be contested in the courts because advocates say these are inhumane conditions.
The king was but a boy when he first climbed aboard.
Prince Charles, making his first contact with the world of steam engines and stations, stands in the doorway of the carriage.
Britain's 156-year-old royal train is coming to a screeching halt. Buckingham Palace says it'll be retired in a couple of years as King Charles moves to modernize the monarchy and cut expenses. This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best, the only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best, better taste, better nutrition, better egg.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lopez leaves Milwaukee.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, basketball. After 7 years with the Milwaukee Bucks, center Brook Lopez is leaving the team for L.A. Lopez agreeing to a 2-year contract with the Los Angeles Clippers worth $18 million. Now, the Bucks have come to terms with three other players, Gary Trent Jr., Kevin Porter, and Taurean Prince. So what's been the difference this offseason for Giannis Antetokounmpo? Bucks reporter Jim Ozarski with the Journal Sentinel.
I think the main difference is this team went from a 58-win team in 2023, top seed in the East, best team in basketball, to a team that had to win 8 straight games and Detroit had the founder to not be the 6th seed. And so what does that mean? They're not rebuilding, they're not tanking, but in Giannis's view, that's not contending. When we had our season ending in that locker room, those guys believe they can win a title.
Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Mets tonight in New York. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We could see a little fog hanging around for a while this morning. Overall, though, sunny today and pleasant. We'll get to 81 for a high, wind northwest at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, we'll drop to around 61 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny with a slight chance of late-day thunderstorms and a high right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Hans Breitenmoser on whether the corn will be knee-high by the 4th of July, plus Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, folks. It is time for Act 2 of Nightlight. If you missed the first hour, oh, man, let's catch you up quick. Our question of the night is, who is your favorite Wisconsin athlete to wear a Wisconsin uniform, be it college, pro, whatever? I said Hank Aaron, with Frank Kaminsky being in second place. Conrad said Frank Kaminsky with... Prince Fielder in second place. We've got some texts we need to get to. We'll do that shortly. We talked about a new deodorant. This ad is 15 seconds long. Let's hear that again, Conrad. Let's catch people up with this great new product people should be indulging.
Sure, yeah.
Balls under boob and butt. Boob and butt. Balls under boob and butt. Boob and butt. Chest and thighs and feet and back. All-day odor protection for under $10.
We are over-deodorizing. It's just too much. And look at Jeff is like, I came here tonight to talk about film and stuff. What is this nonsense?
What kind of show is this, Pete? Actually, what I was going to tell you is that have you seen the television ad that goes along with that jingle?
Yes. I got the video sent to me. It's great.
It was a little, kind of explicit for me. I don't know.
I just think everything now, you're supposed to put deodorant everywhere. It's no fun. I mean, come on, let's it's okay to smell a little bit. You were typing furiously, Nathan.
You said you wanted a part in March, so I just thought
I'm something
observing
down.
You okay. Up close.
A little typecasting. You're writing in a radio host? All right, fair enough. Kurt Newman will be here at 7:35, folks. He is the frontman and founder of the Bodines. It is coming up on the 40th year anniversary of their album Love and Hope and Sex and Dreams, which won an award. I think they were called the Breakthrough Band by Rolling Stone in 1986. Very exciting stuff. But Kurt will be here talking about some Wisconsin dates coming up at 7:35. Right now, very exciting. I've got two of my pals here tonight talking about film incentives, Jeff Kurz from Milwaukee and Nathan Deming. Are you a man without a home? You kind of like you're LA, but you're also hanging in Eau Claire. You're trying to make all these movies here in Wisconsin. What's going on?
That's definitely pulling me here is making movies here.
Yeah.
Are we going to have an opportunity to really quickly give our athlete?
Yes. By all means. Yeah. Let's.
No, nobody said Giannis yet, right?
No, they have not.
Okay. I'm going to go with Giannis for pro.
Okay.
And does anybody remember Ron Dane for college?
Course, yeah.
I grew up idolizing Ron Dane. Yeah.
Okay. I did too. I was
I was going to say the Great Dane too.
Oh, you were? Oh,
the Great Dane. All right, those are both.
He
great
was fun
answers.
To watch. Yeah, my uncle used to take me to games.
Do you have that moment? Like I remember when I was like 11 years old, growing up in Chicago, and all I wanted to be was a running back because I loved Walter Payton. And then you get to like age 12, and you already realize you have absolutely no shot whatsoever of being a professional running back.
There's a line somewhere.
Something happens.
Well, then you find out. I remember wondering who from around me will go to the NBA because you wonder that.
Yeah.
As a kid. And then you look back at the athletes who are in the NBA now, and they're all like, they started like elite training camps at 8 years old or whatever. You're like, okay, none of us had a chance at all.
All right, let's. I want to ask you guys what you're working on too. You're both doing such cool things. I want to get a Deep Woods update from Jeff, and I want to talk to you about your project, making a movie for every month of the year in Wisconsin, which I think is so ambitious and so cool. But I really am curious, like, how in Wisconsin, what do we do here to encourage projects to come here as opposed to Minnesota or Illinois or Iowa or wherever? What do you do? How do you do that? How do you sell our state?
I think that starting out, it's going to be incumbent upon people who have some kind of tie to the state to want to come here and make a movie. And so I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I personally know about 10 projects that are kind of in holding patterns to see if these incentives were going to go through. And all of them, full transparency, two of them are mine. But all of them have some kind of Wisconsin tie. And I think that that's really what's going to set the pace. And Nathan Demming is a prime example of that, right?
Well, we have a marketable identity. I don't like that term, but we have a recognizable identity. I mean, you have to look in the past few years, like up in Eau Claire, we have like a couple regional heroes right now, basically Bon Iver is from Eau Claire, Michael Perry, this novelist. So like we have other areas that artists are like exploding and like attached to the state. People know the state. Charlie Behrens has exploded as one of the only Midwest comedians that's like known nationally, you know, right. I think that's a huge part of like we have something here, especially in the Northwoods. I mean, I don't know if you remember, was it like 8 years ago now? There was this clown panic. Do you remember this clown panic?
Shot right here, gags.
Well,
right?
That started because of a short film made in Wisconsin and immediately like just traveled around the world and like people were talking about being paranoid about clowns. That all just started here, like as like a fever dream in the Northwoods.
Do you guys have, I've been scared of clowns a lot longer than that myself. Do you guys have a certain kind of like, let's say no one has ties to Wisconsin and we're trying to get them to come here. What kind of films typically do you think would find Wisconsin appealing? We have so much, we have cities, lakes, prairies and farms. What kind of production typically do you think would be drawn to us?
I think that it's, Nathan, you're probably going to have, because you're an active director, right? And I'm a producer. But I really feel like Wisconsin is primed for modestly budgeted movies that, you know, could be holiday movies. You know, there's an insatiable appetite for Christmas movies, as Duluth has discovered with some of the movies that they're making. I think that there could be a steady stream of, you know, not expensive movies that are kind of geared toward the crew base that we have, our locations. We have beautiful, you know, very quaint towns in Wisconsin that have never been seen on film, right? And so there's an opportunity there for, as Nathan said, you know, like Santa Clarita does not scream like Christmas, right?
Right. I think too, like, I don't know how many films or at least big budget films have ever been shot in Door County, but you've got Bayfield, like Somewhere in Time was filmed on Mackinac Island. And that's one of my favorite places in the world. It's beautiful. But we have beauty here that really rivals that. Door County, Bayfield, you go west by the Mississippi, all kinds of stuff.
Apostle Islands. Yeah, no, I really want to film something there someday. Yeah. Well, so the New York Times was just doing its like top 100 list. Did you follow that at all? Top 100 films of the 21st century.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's like something. And so basically, one of them was Bridesmaids, which is what I'm leading up to. Bridesmaids set in Milwaukee, filmed in Los Angeles. If you watch it. And then there's all these details that are weird. Like it's not crazy to have a Scottish cop, a charming Scottish cop in Wisconsin. But like when you look at the road they're on, everything about it is just like rural California.
It's like a 2-lane highway that goes from Milwaukee to Chicago.
Right. With just all the flora and fauna of California, not Wisconsin. So like, you know, you just don't, we're missing authenticity here. And I've talked to artists and writers of like all backgrounds here. I think we're all really frustrated with the fact that for some reason, the coasts here Midwest, and they get bored, or it's like we're nothing. They don't hate us, they just think it's not interesting. Right. I think if we get a chance to tell our own stories, we can really show them, like, you know, we got a lot going on here. We're not just Absolutely. Fargo. We're not, you know,
Absolutely. Jeff Kurz and Nathan Demming are my guests, both Wisconsin filmmakers, both with great track records of making movies and being part of movie sets. And we're talking about incentives, but let's move on. Jeff, you did a movie a few years ago called Deep Woods. We talked about it on this show last time. I think last time you were on. I really enjoyed it. What do you have coming up that you're working on?
Currently, I'm working on a couple projects, including something that, interestingly, was supposed to shoot in New Jersey, but the filmmaker who I've known for a long time brought it to me and said, can we make this cheaper in Milwaukee? I redid his budget. And he was going to get $600,000 out of the state of New Jersey. And even with that, I was able to get $250,000 out of his budget. So he said, let's do it here. It's got a very nice cast. It's John Cameron Mitchell, Margaret Cho, and Melissa Leo. Mm. We are currently talking to financiers. But this is the situation where it, a very modestly budgeted movie, a real passion project for all three actors who I just mentioned. So that's basically what I'm working on right now.
Great. Well, and you are working. Tell us where you're at with your project, making
my
a film,
year project.
Your year project, which is so cool.
Well, my next film's going to be something else that I'll be coy about. I've got a couple irons in the fire. But yeah, I'm excited to return to that as soon as possible. Maybe shooting it next spring. So
is this the Untitled Pete Schwabe project?
This is the Untitled Pete Schwabe story. Awesome. Yeah. And
it's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. Audiences, 0%.
And
no, yeah. So I'm excited to get back to that when I have.
And do you have like with March? February was so great. Yes. With March, do you have that story? Is that script written? Mm-hmm. Is it still just an idea? Okay.
Yeah, I have up through June written right now. I'm really excited about the arc I want to bring you on. But I need some incentives, Jeff. I need some help.
We're working on it.
And where can people see Deep Woods, Jeff?
Oh, they can't anymore.
What?
our distributor it was called 1091 Pictures, and they were under the umbrella of Chicken Soup for the Soul, which I thought was a very healthy company, but apparently I don't know what happened, but they went bankrupt. So right now we're trying to figure out exactly what to do with that. But I take that back, actually. I've heard that you can see this movie on Tubi. So go to Tubi and put in Deep.
Hey, we're all on Tubi. Tubi Club.
There you go.
And I always steer people there. I'm like, well, you can watch it here and pay $5, but Tubi's great.
Yeah. We could plug, if we're plugging anything, we could plug that, like, this is an important time for Action Wisconsin, like, people, like, learning about the bill, because although we have, like, we're growing momentum and support among the legislators, like, it's really important still to contact your legislators. So is it just actionwisconsin.org, and then there's a take action button that's like a little pre-filled thing.
So it's actually actionwi.org.
Yes,
and
sorry.
As Nathan said, there's a button on it that says, first of all, you can read the bills. They are featured on the homepage. And then there's a button that you can, we made it very easy. You click on this button, you put in your name, address, zip code, the names of your reps come up because nobody ever knows who their reps are. And then there's a pre-written email that you hit send and it'll go to them, just asking them for their support.
That was my next question. So very well done.
Sorry.
People can, no, that's great. I'm glad people know where they can go to do that. So let me ask you this, guys. How do you, I know the landscape has changed in terms of like what you get. Like if you don't have a huge star in your film where you get money up front or help finance it or whatever, how do you make your money back? It seems like if you make $1 million or $2 million film, you have to win Sundance. Or if you have a micro budget and you can pull it off and have great production value, you have a better chance of recouping. Where are things at regarding?
This is why I said I think the future is regional cinema. Ask Hundreds of Beavers, ask Green and Gold.
Yeah.
These are two independent films that made, Hundreds of Beavers made $1 million, like
that's
with
insane.
A budget of like 150K. And then I think Green and Gold had closer to $1 million, but then made like 2 or 3 times that back. Hundreds of Beavers did it with a tour. I took my film on tour. If I had charged money, I might have made a little money. You know, there's a real appetite, I think, in like approaching audiences directly. Because the other piece of this we didn't mention is that 60% of the theaters in Wisconsin are independently owned. Those theater
right.
owners want special events to bring people
yes.
into, and we're really excited about Green and Gold and saw like how people turned out again and again and again.
Helps too.
And there's also, you know, what I want to piggyback onto that, because there's, you know, we're living in a time of authenticity. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that you would see, and we were talking about Bridesmaids and some other movies.
Hey, Jeff, can you hold that? Can you hold that thought?
Sure.
We'll come back. We're going to do a very short break, and we'll have a few more minutes with these guys who are gracious enough to hang out with me tonight here on Nightlight. It's great to have you both. And we will finish up after this very short break. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone. Solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the university system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators get a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, it's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Welcome back, folks. Kurt Newman will be here in just a few minutes talking about some upcoming tour dates for the Bodines, including one at the Atwood Music Hall, the beautiful new Atwood Music Hall in Madison. Right now, we've got a few more minutes with our current guests, Jeffrey Kurz from Milwaukee and Nathan Deming, two very talented filmmakers here in Wisconsin trying to get legislation passed so that we can get even more film shot here in Wisconsin and make it economically feasible. Jeff, you were making a point right before the break, and I would love for you to continue with that.
I was just saying that I think that we're living in a time of authenticity, and for so long we've seen films set in Wisconsin that weren't made here with people who really haven't spent any time here. And I think that, you know, to Nathan's point, if you give the people what they want, they'll turn out. And so not only Green and Gold, there was that recent documentary about the 1982 Brewers and during the World
just
Series.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside. Yeah, exactly, right? And I think that it's a combination of giving the people what they want in a kind of a regional atmosphere. If it breaks out, that's fantastic too, right? And it's also about trying to be as economically prudent as possible in terms of how much a movie costs, right?
Yeah. Boy, I would love to be able to do budgets. Like I finish something or my son will ask me to help him with something. I'm like, I just don't know budgets. You have to know budgets to know what's feasible, right?
I mean, I know how to do budgets, but I'm never correct. I'm always under what I need to spend.
It cost you $4,000 to get here from Eau Claire. Yeah, yeah. That was a red flag. Yeah. I don't know how that happened, but well, this has been great, guys. What are you guys watching? Have you seen any of the big summer blockbusters? I just saw F1 this a couple days ago, and I was underwhelmed. But what have you guys been watching?
Jeff, you go first.
So we just started. So I'm a huge Scott Frank fan. So he did Godless and Queen's Gambit for television. But he also wrote Out of Sight, that Steven Soderbergh movie. And he has a new series that's on Netflix called Department Q that's set in Belfast.
I'm watching that right now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. We just started it last night. I really like that. There's, as a palate cleanser, there's this great series called Adults about these 20 somethings living in Brooklyn. That's hilariously funny. So that's kind of, and as far as like feature films, loved Ryan Coogler's movie Sinners.
Oh my gosh. That was great. That's my favorite so far this year. And it's funny. I just gave Out of Sight a rewatch about 3 months ago. And why isn't Don Cheadle more of a famous actor? He is so great in every, he steals that movie from me. Like Clooney's great. He's fine. But man, I love Don Cheadle.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
What about you, buddy? What do you want to?
This weekend, my brother and I binged all the documentaries about Ocean Gate Titan.
Oh, was that the thing that exploded?
The sub that imploded, yeah. We got
sounds whimsical.
Not high watching.
Wait,
by
there's more than one of those?
Oh, there's like three of them. The BBC, HBO, and Netflix all made a documentary. So you put them all together and you get something.
I want to know how they...
By the way, for those of us who don't have time, which is the best?
The HBO one.
Really?
Yeah, that was pretty solid. The Netflix one was like lazy. They just like edited together archive footage and were like, here we go.
Well, if I had $1 million, the last thing I would do would be something life-threatening. Like, I've made
experimental
it.
Why submarine. Am I doing
these guys are insane, right? Jeff, you got a ton of money. You know what I'm talking about, right?
You know, I'm loaded.
What about binge-watching? Are you watching, like, you mentioned Department Q. I just started that, and it's just so great. I watched a movie or a show recently that I discovered that came out in 2012 called Line of Duty. I'm back and forth on British people that watch all the British shows and kind of look down their nose at you, even though they live in Freedom, Wisconsin. Like, it's like, okay, I like some of the British stuff, but not all of it. You know what I mean? Like, but this Line of Duty was so good. And it was like the number one show on BBC Two, and they moved it to BBC One, but there's like six seasons over like 10 years, and it is dynamite. I cannot say enough good things about it.
Do you like the American that or the was British that, office?
By the way, so Line of... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, he asked me if I like the American or British Office
better.
Well,
based on his... What he just
no,
said.
I know. That's a great question, because when I first saw the British Office, 12 episodes, and then they wrapped it up with the Christmas special, I thought, I'm going to boycott whatever America does with this.
Yeah.
But I have changed my thinking. What America does is so much more difficult because we make so many damn episodes. What they did was incredible. Steve Carell is brilliant, and I think it was harder to do what NBC did almost than it was to do with what Ricky Gervais did in BBC. So how's that for an answer?
That's a good answer. They're diagnosing different cultural problems too.
True.
So, yeah, I got to go with the British one.
That's true. What were you going to say, Jeff?
Oh, I think that I was talking about Line of Duty. That was huge. That was one of those shows that were like people stayed in when people still did that, they would stay in to watch that.
See, okay, that makes total sense, because I had never heard of this, and I don't even know, I stumbled on it, and they have these great interrogation scenes, but then it was at the end of season three where the Kate character all of a sudden is carrying a machine gun and chasing someone down a city street. And I'm like, this show has everything. Like, just when you think it's this cerebral show, they break out this great action. Great stuff. Tell us when we can, we've got about a minute left, guys. When will we have some closure, or when will we find out about the legislation, whether it passed or not?
It's hard to say. So first of all, today was the last day of the spring session for the legislators.
Okay.
So in my mind, I think that, and this is not too far away, I'm thinking that early September, we're going to get some kind of general vote, but if that's, you know, 2 months away. So,
right. And you've said you liked its chances.
I mean, it feels good. I mean, we have these legislators behind us. And again, the more we've talked about it, it just seems like generally people are for it, and just, they just don't know what it is. I mean, I get it. Like, tax incentive policy is a little obscure, but it's just the landscape of filming now. And then the other thing people don't know is the big picture that Hollywood's leaving Hollywood, and they're worried about LA becoming Detroit, which is just bonkers to think about.
Right.
So that's part of the opportunity, because LA's losing jobs, Chicago's gaining jobs, Illinois's gaining jobs, Minnesota's
You can't surf in Detroit. We'll leave it there. Jeff, thank you so much. Nathan, best of luck, you guys. Keep us posted, and don't be strangers. You're very welcome. We're coming back with Bodine's founder and frontman, Kurt Newman, next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. Brian Koberger has agreed to plead guilty to stabbing four University of Idaho students to death. Benjamin Mogan's daughter Madison among the victims.
We can actually put this behind us and not have these future dates and future things that we don't want to have to be at, that we shouldn't have to be at, that have to do with this terrible person.
Senators have now been up for two nights in a row, this time holding a votorama on amendments to what President Trump calls his big, beautiful budget bill. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham.
Stick with the bill we wrote. You're going to be happy to reduce the deficit and make sure people's taxes don't go up.
A note, too, from jurors to the judge on day one of deliberations at Sean Combs' sex trafficking and racketeering trial in New York. CBS's Alice Gaynor.
They said they were concerned that this juror cannot follow your honor's instructions. Can you speak with him?
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Lopez leaves Milwaukee.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, basketball. After 7 years with the Milwaukee Bucks, center Brooke Lopez is leaving the team for L.A. Lopez agreeing to a two-year contract with the Los Angeles Clippers worth $18 million. Now, the Bucks have come to terms with three other players, Gary Trent Jr., Kevin Porter, and Taurean Prince. So what's been the difference this offseason for Giannis Antetokounmpo? Bucks reporter Jim Ozarski with the Journal Sentinel.
I think the main difference is this team went from a 58-win team in 2023, top seed in the East, best team in basketball, to a team that had to win eight straight games and Detroit had the founder to not be the sixth seed. And so what does that mean? They're not rebuilding. They're not tanking. But in Giannis's view, that's not contending. When we had our season ending in that locker room, those guys believe they can win a title.
Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Mets tonight in New York with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. During a recent appearance at Fuel Fest, Vin Diesel said he recently spoke with a Universal executive who asked him if they could do another Fast and Furious film, to which the actor said yes, but on three conditions. The conditions were to return the filming to production-starved L.A., embrace the purity of street racing once again, and to have his buddy Paul Walker make an appearance in the film. Walker passed away in 2013 after a high-speed car crash at just 40 years old. Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez's $50 million wedding was the talk of the weekend, but the talk wasn't all good. Charlize Theron spoke during her fifth annual African outreach project in L.A. and said to the crowd, "I think we might be the only people not invited to the most talked-about wedding," at which point the Mad Max Fury Road star said, "That's okay, because they suck and we're cool." Two very different events, but a lot less collagen and steroids at Theron's event. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We could see a little fog hanging around for a while this morning. Overall, though, sunny today and pleasant. We'll get to 81 for a high, wind northwest at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, we'll drop to around 61 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny with a slight chance of late-day thunderstorms and a high right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, "I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah." It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
On the next show, what happens if 20 million people lose their health insurance? Kristen Krall from Fair Share America joins Maggie to talk about the Stop the Billionaire Giveaway bus tour.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I am Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me on this beautiful Monday night as we broadcast live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Our question of the night, you still have time to get in on the action here, is who is your favorite athlete to wear a Wisconsin college or pro uniform? Let me know, and I will read your text on the radio, folks. I need to catch up on some of those soon. And you can also tell me if you saw F1 too. I saw this film, and it looked like... They somehow crammed 5 hours of music into a 2.5 hour movie. I don't know how they did it, but let me know your thoughts. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. In the 90s, I discovered, actually it was the 80s, I discovered the Bodines, and I eventually got to know them a little bit, specifically Kurt Newman, who wrote a movie score for my film, The Godfather of Green Bay, and I've just been a huge fan ever since, and I'm very thrilled to welcome him onto Nightlight for the first time. Kurt Newman, the front man and founder of the Bodines. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Doing very well. It's great to hear your voice, and great to have you on the show.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Are you where? So you're coming to, you've got a date in Madison in 2 days, and I know you're in Colorado. Yeah. Are you doing shows there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a bunch of shows out here in Colorado. We've been kind of flying around the country doing all different areas, all different cities like I've been doing for the last 40 years. And, yeah, we're going to be back there in the Midwest for a couple of shows next week.
So, all right.
This week.
Yeah, in 2 days. Let's talk about that. But you just said 40 years. This is kind of cool. When I discovered you guys, Outside Looking In had just come out, but I had to go back and check out Love and Hope and Sex and Dreams. That has a 40-year anniversary coming up. What are your thoughts on that? It was such a breakthrough album. I think it was Rolling Stone said you guys were the breakout band of the year in 1986 or 1987. How do you feel about Love and Hope and Sex and Dreams all these years later?
You know, I'm proud of it. It was a good record. It was a great snapshot of the band, you know, where they were at that time in our careers. And so I'm proud of it. You know, I see the 40-year anniversary not just of that one record. I see it as, like I said, of going town to town, playing songs for 40 years, you know, is the way I really see it, because really we were touring around before Love and Hope and Sex and Dreams and every day since. And so I just kind of feel like it's a celebration of 40 years of singing songs with all these different fans in all these different cities, all these different places, and people who have been connected to the music for so many years. And so that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. Although, you know, obviously Love and Hope and Sex and Dreams is part of that history, but I kind of see all the records as part of that history, you know, and every day going forward, you know.
That is fantastic. I'm just going to share how I discovered the Bodines. It was 1987 and I was in my dorm room at DePaul University, and a buddy of mine comes in and says, "Hey, I got an extra ticket for you too." And I almost passed on going to see U2 for $20 at the Rosemont Horizon. And I'm so glad I went, because I got into you guys. You were the opening act. And when you said we're from Waukesha, Wisconsin, the place went nuts because you guys were so close to home. And that was the first time I saw you guys, and I've been hooked on your music ever since. It's been just so much fun. So let's talk about, you have a date coming up in 2 days in Madison at the brand new Atwood Music Hall. What have you heard about it? And do you have a favorite venue in Madison or one you typically play?
No, we've played lots of different venues there, probably all of them, and you know, in the time frame we've been playing. But this one, they just kind of got back together. My understanding, it's got quite a long musical history to it, and the room looks pretty cool as far as set up for acoustics. It's set up for music and performance. So I just really wanted to give that room a shot and see what it sounded like as well. And so we'll be there. It's, like I said, it's relatively new to the town or being reintroduced, rather. But I'm looking forward to seeing what it's like, what it sounds like in there, and what it feels like.
One of our texters, Bridget from the 818 area code, says, Kurt Newman, my favorite... 4 exclamation marks, Kurt. I'm just telling you. She says, such a talented musician and songwriter, the best live performer I've ever seen. That's kind of cool. Thank you, Bridget, for that text. And the Bodines are a great live band. I saw you do a show in Milwaukee. It was at Sprecher. Does that sound right? Like in 2017 maybe or 2016?
We did a beer with them, yeah, way back when. They did a Bodines brew kind of thing, and we played in their, I don't know, basement or their room for having beer. And that was quite an event because we were very loud in a tiny little room, but it was fun.
It was a blast. And I, you know, you look like you were having so much fun. I think Kenny Aronoff was playing with you. I know he was because I got a picture with you guys. But yeah. What's your favorite venue to play, Kurt? You've played huge venues and you've played these little ones. Do you have a sweet spot where you like a live crowd venue size?
You know, it's the thing to say about that is it's not the physical location like a venue or anything like that. It's the crowd that shows up for a band. That makes all the difference in the world for the band. You can be in a tiny place. You can be in a huge space. If the crowd is there and they're into it, then it's the best show. It's because that's really... That's the only reason I'm there, you know?
Yeah.
I can play music in my living room all I want and enjoy music, but what I'm trying to do is come out and play a show and do it with people, with the audience. You know, we're trying to all come together. I tell people every night when I play that music has a healing quality to it, and this world right now could really use some healing quality. There's been so much division and pulling apart, and I just think music has a magical ability to pull people back together. You forget all your strange belief systems for a while, and you just get into the music and you sing songs together, and you remember your humanity. And so that's why I still to this day love playing music and just getting in a room and like, let's put all the bull aside and just come together and sing some songs together. Remember like what really matters and what feels so great and healing to your soul. So that's what I set out to do at a show. That's what makes any venue I'm in the best venue that night.
That's a great answer. And it's funny because I remember when I would go see you play in the 90s or 2000s or whatever, I never cared what people's political beliefs were. You know what I mean? Like, we're just all here enjoying music, and that's, you're very right about that and the healing powers. One of our texters, Tom from the 414 says, hear, hear to music. Agree with Kurt. And Dave on the stream says, I've never watched the Bodines live, but love their music. Well, you have a great opportunity now, Dave, because they've got some great dates coming up here in Wisconsin too.
I tell people a lot of times too, like, my dad's side of the family really wrestled with depression in his side, and I found that lots of times in my life, too, it can grab a hold of me really tightly. And so the one thing that I found that really could battle against it and lift me out of it every time was music. And I was so happy in my life that I found music to do that for me, you know, because I can put on something and will immediately lift my spirits. And I have fans tell me that all the time when I play, like they fly around the country to see us because to them it lifts them up and makes them feel good and it's worth the investment and stuff. And I just think music has that power. And in our society right now, when it comes to the arts, we've been just kind of pushing them aside, and like they're losing this value in our culture. And I just want to remind people of how important the arts are in your life. You know, they have a priceless quality to them that, you know, other things just don't. You can go out shopping and buy clothes and cars and jewelry. It just doesn't have that same quality that the arts have, you know?
Right. And a car, like the value wears off after a while. You like it when you first drive it, but the music that has been there your whole life, you keep coming back to it. It's always there for you. And I could not agree more with you. You have some other dates coming up to Dave's text. The Bodines are playing Friday, July 11th. I hope these are accurate, Kurt. I just pulled them off the website, so I don't know if anything has changed. But
sure, they should be.
Yeah, Indian Casino, Indian Crossing Casino in Waupaca on the 11th. Big Top Chautauqua in Bayfield. We were just talking about Bayfield earlier on the 12th. Am I saying this right? The Utipuls Brewing in Minneapolis, Minnesota?
Yeah.
So lots of places. And how does it, you know, you started here. I know you're based in Austin, Texas now. It must be fun to come back to Wisconsin to play for your homies, right?
Yeah. I'm spending the entirety of July, you know, in the Midwest. I don't, you know, most of the summers I spend in the Midwest because we do a lot of shows up there, and it's just a better central location, even if we are going east or west or something like that. So it makes a lot of sense. So I still get my summers up there, which, in you know, in my opinion, it's the best place to be from summer till fall up there. It's just the most gorgeous. And so it's nice, yeah. And, you know, Austin's great to spend your winters in, but it's nothing like the Midwest.
You have a song called Hurt by Love, and you were talking about your dad recently. If I could just geek out on Bodine's music. That song, I play the guitar for like a year, then I'll put it down for two, and I'll pick it back up for 3 months. That's commitment. But that is one of my favorite songs to play on the guitar. And you mentioned your dad, and you address your dad in that song. Do you still play that in concert? Or do you ever break that out?
Yeah, sometimes. I haven't played it recently, but I really do love that song. It's got such a personal connection to me and my dad and, you know, how he saw the world, you know, and I learned a lot of lessons from my dad and his mistakes that he made in life, you know, and I think sometimes he felt like a failure as a father, but, you know, I told him one time, you know, well, I learned a lot from your mistakes and what not to do as well, you know. My dad suffered from alcoholism, and it was tough, you know. He didn't have a great upbringing himself, you know, and he wasn't really educated, and he had to kind of fight for everything he got in life. And so as a kid, you know, you're not aware of it, but as I got older in my teens and 20s and stuff, I became aware of what his struggles were, and I learned a lot about what not to do myself from his actions. And so, you know, in some ways, it's a good lesson. He gave me some good lessons to learn as well, but yeah, so, you know, I try to write. I also wrote a song called Father's Day that's on Indigo's Dreams. That's a really beautiful song, which is also about my dad and his struggles with alcohol.
That's so great. You'll have to come back, Kurt, when you're, I know you're putting out new material soon, but when that gets closer, you'll have to come back. We have about 30 seconds left, but who do you like to collaborate with that's not a Bodine the most?
When I'm home listening to music, I listen to a lot of instrumental stuff and jazz and stuff, so I have a real affection for something. There's a couple artists, like I've always loved listening to Branford Marcellus play. I think when he plays his horns, it's just magical. And I also love a guitar player who plays with Sting. His name is Dominic Miller, and he just puts out some incredible solo records, so I just love his stuff as well.
Well, keep the music coming, buddy. We'll be listening, and we'd love to sit down when we have a little more time. And if you're ever in the area, you have an open invitation to come into the studio. It'd be great to hear you play or just talk Bodines. Thanks so much, buddy.
All right. You take care.
All right. You too. Knock 'em dead. That's Kurt Newman, founder and frontman of the Bodines. You can catch them at the Atwood Music Hall in just 2 days, folks, in Madison, Wisconsin. We're coming right back to wrap things up. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's all your love.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Distinguished television journalist Bill Moyers died June 26th at age 91. In his long career, he earned 30 Emmy Awards, served as President Lyndon Johnson's press secretary, and was a stalwart voice for democracy and democracy reform. On Being a Reporter, Moyers told a Chautauqua Institution audience in 2016, "I was hooked, and in one way or another, I've continued to engage the issues of money and power, equality and democracy over a lifetime spent at the intersection between politics and journalism." From 1964 to 1967, he served as Johnson's press secretary during the passage of the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act. He was instrumental in the creation of public broadcasting, where he later reported for almost a decade. He wrote scores of commentaries for CBS and NBC and produced 70 documentaries for PBS. Democracy and democracy reform appears frequently in Moyers' work, including his Moyers on Democracy podcast and a companion book of speeches. When Moyers retired in 2017, he wrote, "Please remain vigilant and engaged as citizens in the civic and political life of your community and our country. Democracy is fragile, and no one can say with certainty that it can withstand the manifold risks to which it is now exposed." We've linked to his farewell essay and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. What a fun show. Talked some film incentives, some filmmaking here in Wisconsin, and then with Kurt Newman, the founder and frontman of the Bodies. I don't know what I was thinking. We booked Kurt for like one segment. I had 200 questions. It's just a little bit off there.
Yeah.
But it was fun. Good to catch up with Kurt. And again, if you do happen to watch The Godfather of Green Bay, that is Kurt's score that he wrote throughout the film and lots of Bodine songs on the soundtrack too. So check that out and check out Kurt at the Atwood Music Hall with his band, the Bodines. That's Thursday night. Lots of other Wisconsin dates, Indian Crossing Casino, Big Top Chautauqua in Bayfield. If you're over in the western part of the state, you can catch them in Minneapolis. Go to bodines.com or net. I can't remember if they're a com or a net. I was just on the website earlier. But tomorrow night on the show, Carl Lowenstein will be here from Sturgeon. What did I say? It was Sturgeon Distillers. How do I not have Carl's information here? I just literally just had it, Conrad, and now I can't find it. Carl is he's going to be here in the studio, and it's Sturgeon Spirits Distillery. Sound like I've been drinking. Sturgeon Spirits Distillery. I love that. In Oshkosh, Carl will be in the studio talking about the making of booze. me. And I am so excited to have Carl on the show tomorrow night. Maybe he'll give us a little taste test. What do you think before we drive on home?
Ooh, I'd love that.
That could be fun. Well,
you didn't have to put it like that.
Before we Uber home. Carl will be here in studio tomorrow night. That'll be fun. Wednesday, we have a short week, folks. We're going to take some time off for the 4th of July. Wednesday will be Matt Miller, Milwaukee film critic. Always fun to talk to Matt. I can't wait to talk to Matt about F1. I hope he's seen it.
I feel like he's going to hate it.
You think so?
I don't know. Just the way that you were talking about
it,
I feel like
he's going to... A lot
of critics
like it. I don't get it. I think they've all gone soft, but maybe I'm missing something too. Matt probably knows more about certainly critiquing a movie than I do. And then also on Wednesday, Wendy Schneider will be here. Wendy made a film called The Smart Studio Story about Butch Vig and Steve Marker, who started the Smart Studios in Madison and ended up producing bands like Nirvana and the Smashing Pumpkins. Her documentary is outstanding, and it will be playing at the Atwood Music Hall, interestingly enough. Wendy will be here on Wednesday to talk about that screening. We got some texts we got to catch up on here, Conrad. I don't know if you noticed that, but our question of the night.
Yeah,
what was our question of the night? What's your favorite Wisconsin athlete who has ever worn a college or pro uniform? And let's start with Steady Eddie. Steady Eddie from the 608 says, Pete, favorite athlete to play for a Wisconsin team, Bruce McCauley. He was a teammate of mine in high school. He started for the University of Wisconsin basketball team in the early 70s. Excellent shooter, smart player, good guy. Tip of the hat also to Hank Aaron. He was a great player and wonderful role model. Agreed, Steady Eddie. He says, I got to see him play for the Braves and Brewers. Steady Eddie, did you get to see him play for the Milwaukee Braves or the Atlanta Braves? Brewers are definitely in Milwaukee. And we read Bridget's text. Bridget also sent another text. She says, Robin Yount, an athletic figure from my childhood. Thank you, Bridget, from the 818. Always great to hear from you. Steve, Conrad's dad, says, Hank Aaron, the true home run record holder. I agree, Steve. Robin Yount, Milwaukee Brewers, and Mark Johnson, Wisconsin Badger, Olympic gold hockey, currently coach of the Badger women's hockey. Oh, that's interesting. Your dad's a hockey fan.
I didn't know it.
You just found that out with me.
I guess so.
Yeah, because Hank Aaron, I don't even think there were steroids back then. Certainly not when Babe Ruth played. But Hank Aaron shattered Babe Ruth's record.
I think Babe Ruth's steroids was cigars and booze.
Hot dogs. Yeah, exactly. Jack from Merrimack says, haven't seen F1 yet, but if you want to see what I think of as a great racing film, see Steve McQueen's 24 Hours of Le Mans. I've heard that's a good movie. Jack continues and says, that's an incredible crash. There's an incredible crash scene in there, and there was absolutely no CGI. Yeah, that is something. Thank you for the recommendation, Jack. I will definitely check that out. 24 Hours of Le Mans. Not to be confused with 24 Hours of Le Mans, which is about a woman being in labor for 24 hours. You don't want that. That would be worse than an auto crash, I think. Barb in Waukesha, she's in the 262, says, the entire 1982 Brewer team. My love of baseball was born. That is a great text. Thank you, Barb. And from the 608, yes, Pete, I could not agree more. I've been working on a segment on this for our show. Take a freaking shower. Stop spraying the privates. That could be towards our opening discussion about the showers here at WGBW.
It was about the...
Or the deodorant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But a great text. Thank you, 608.
That's Todd Alba.
Todd Alba is 608?
Yeah.
TA. I gotcha. Why doesn't Todd just identify himself? Rather make me do these mental gymnastics trying to figure out who TA. I thought that was Tony Almond.
Who's Tony Almond?
I don't know. Could be a guy, though. Thank you, Todd. Good to hear from you. Hope you're having a safe drive back to Madison, pal. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, there was a Far Side cartoon some years ago with a man exiting the men's room with a flashing sign, didn't wash hands. I remember that. That's so fantastic. He says, one can't but remember that our current Secretary of Defense brags about not washing his hands. I did not know that. That's so great. Tom from New Berlin says, Dave Craig from Middleton College. That's the one. I couldn't find that earlier. Dave Craig from Middleton College to the Seahawks. And Dwayne Wade, another great choice from Marquette to Miami. That's a great one. Thank you, Tom.
You want to hear something cool? That free agency is happening in NBA right now.
Yeah.
Nigel Hayes, he was overseas. But he was a EuroLeague champion and that finals MVP.
He was?
And he just signed a deal with the Phoenix Suns for a year.
Oh, that's so
great.
So
he's making his way back to the States.
Michael Finley, you could have said too. Michael Finley was another great Badger. I forgot about Michael Finley. And now a film producer. Well, good for Nigel Hayes. That'll be nice. All right, folks, thank you so much for your texts. This has been great fun, as it always is here on Nightlight. Great to have you with me. Thank you for being here. Thank you to Kurt Newman and the Bodines. Go see Kurt and the Bodines at the Atwood Music Hall, the brand spanking new Atwood Music Hall in Madison on Thursday, July 3rd. And thank you to Nathan Deming and Jeff Kurz for discussing film incentives and the filmmaking process here in Wisconsin. Great stuff. We'll be back tomorrow night to do it all over again. Have a great night, everybody, on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Brian Koberger's agreed to plead guilty to murdering four University of Idaho students as part of a plea deal to avoid the death penalty. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
It's not at all clear that the victims' families like this arrangement, and the judge could reject the plea bargain, although judges ordinarily do not.
Investigators are still looking for a motive in the ambush deaths of two fire battalion chiefs in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. What they do know about 20-year-old Wes Rowley, Sheriff Robert Norris.
There is information that we've received that he at one time wanted to be a firefighter.
Officials say he set a brush fire to lure the victims to Canfield Mountain. Senators up all night again for a vote-a-rama on President Trump's big budget bill. Maryland Democrat Angela Alsobrooks.
We can save health care for millions of Americans if we strip out tax giveaways for individuals making more than $10 million. Yes or no?
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.